I mean, not as a daily Bible reading to see how much you can read, but slowly meditating, devouring, digesting, feeding upon the Word written in the Psalms. Now, one of the things that the writers, the people who write commentaries and other things, one of the things they do often is try to establish when a certain psalm was written. No one has been able to effectively come up with a time when this psalm might have been written. But I think I can give you some clues. In verse 2, David talks about being pursued by enemies. He said, when the wicked, mine enemies, even mine enemies and my foes came upon me. Verse 3 said, they encircled him. A host should encamp against me. That may give us a clue. But then in verse 4, he indicates that he may have been away from the house of God for a long time, away from the worship of the Lord and the fellowship of his people. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Out there when he was running from Saul and living in the caves and among the heathen, he was away from the temple, away from the tabernacle, away from the worship of God, away from the fellowship of his people. Then in verse 10, he may have recently parted with his parents, his family. He says in verse 10, when my mother and father forsake me, or I have been forsaken by them, the Lord will take me up. Verse 12, he may have been the victim of slander when he wrote this. He said in verse 12, deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witness has arisen up against me, and they breathe out cruelty. Slander. In verse 13, it may have been a time, I do not know, it may have been a time when, except for his confidence in the Lord, that he would have quit. He would have fainted. He said in verse 13, I had fainted unless things were so low and so distressing, so troublesome, he said, I would have quit. Except for one thing. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This thing's not over. Well, whenever he wrote it, it's a blessing. So let's look at verse 1 and let me see what I can do with this by the grace of God. And as his Holy Spirit gives us some understanding, he begins verse 1 in this fashion. He says, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Here's a personal note, isn't it? I don't know about others. That's what he's saying. But I tell you, the Lord's my light. He's my light. He's my salvation. He's my strength. I wish I could speak for everyone. I wish I could say this is true of everyone I know. The Lord is our light and our salvation and our strength. But I can't say that. But I can say he's my light. And he's my salvation. And he's my strength. And this is a work of grace. He hasn't always been my light. He brought me out of darkness. He translated me from the kingdom of darkness, from blindness, into his light. It's his work, not mine. He's my light because he revealed the light to my soul. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. He's my light by his grace. And he's my salvation. I was under the curse. The scripture says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the law to do them. I haven't continued in all things written in the law. But Christ was made a curse for me on the cross. And he redeemed me from the curse of the law. He has delivered me. He's my salvation. And he's my strength. He's my strength. He's my defense. He's my rock. That rock, that's a fortress. That's a defense. That's a hiding place. I'm weak, but he's the strength of my life. So that's the way he begins. The Lord is my light. The Lord doesn't give light. He is life. You see, there's a difference. The Lord, he does. He shines in our hearts, but he is our light. That's what he said. The Lord is my light. And the Lord didn't just provide salvation. He himself is my salvation. And the Lord, it doesn't say the Lord will strengthen me. He'll walk beside me. He is my strength. And here's the results. Whom shall I fear? I shall not fear Satan. He's defeated. I shall not fear the curse of the law because the curse has been removed. I shall not fear my sins because he remembers them no more. I shall not fear the justice of God because in Christ there is no condemnation. I shall not even fear to come boldly before his throne that I might find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And I need not fear men. Our Lord said, don't fear them that kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. So whom shall I fear? The Lord's my light and my salvation, and he's my strength, and I don't have anything to fear. I had in the bulletin this morning an article I read somewhere. A contemporary writer said, people are troubled by six fears, talking about the general public. This is what most people fear. Did you see it in the bulletin this morning? Six things. They fear poverty. But we don't have to be afraid of poverty. David said, I'm old. I've been young. I've never seen God's seed begging bread. They fear ill health. Well, whatever comes into our lives is by the will of our Father and for our good and his glory. They fear criticism. They fear old age. They fear death. They fear condemnation. But we don't fear these things because he's my strength. He's my salvation. All right, let's go on. Now he says in verse 2, when the wicked, mine enemies and my foes. Believers have enemies and foes? Well, believers are peaceful people. And they're loving people. But they have enemies. Believers have enemies. They have foes. And these foes and enemies are called the wicked. Turn to Ephesians 6. I'll show you some enemies that we have. Ephesians chapter 6. It says in verse 6, chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 12, we wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, of spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are our enemies. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day. And having done all, to stand. Yes, we have enemies. We have enemies. We have enemies among people who hate grace. They hate the gospel of grace, and they're our enemies. We don't hate them, they hate us. You see, we're not angry. Cain didn't rise up against Abel. Abel didn't rise up against Cain. Cain rose up against Abel. There's where the hatred comes from. But David says in verse 2 and 3, when the wicked, mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. In what? In what? In what he's just said in verse 1, the Lord's my light. That's my confidence. The Lord's my salvation. That's my confidence. The Lord's my strength. In this will I be confident. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans, this is what he's talking about right here. If God be for us, who can be against us? In Romans 8, let's read beginning with verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What does it matter who's against us? Enemies, spiritual enemies, spiritual wickedness in high places. Why, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with his Son also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Who? Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though wars rise against me, in this will I be confident. He's my light, my salvation, and my strength. The storms will come. Read your scripture over here in Isaiah. Isaiah 32. The storms will come. The floods will come. The wind will blow. But it says here in Isaiah 32, verse 2, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a shelter from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He's my light, my salvation, and my strength. Now look at verse 4 with me for a moment. This is an interesting verse. I see something here that, with more careful consideration and study, I haven't seen before. But David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing. This one thing is of great importance to me. You know, our Lord said that to the rich young ruler. He said, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. He said that to Martha when she was cumbered about with much care. He said, Martha, and she was a believer. He said, one thing is needful. And Mary's found it. Mary's found it. The one thing needful. The Apostle Paul said that. He used that term, one thing. He said, this one thing I do. I do. Forgetting that which was behind, I press forward. So David says, one thing have I desired. This is a heart matter. And God certainly judges us by the desires of our hearts. And what's this? One thing have I desired of the Lord. Here's the well to draw from, him. Something men can't supply, something men can't give, something I can't give myself or supply myself. This is the door upon which to knock, the well from which to draw. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. What is it? It's twofold. First, he says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What's he talking about here? Well, you know, he writes about this quite frequently. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go to the house of the Lord. On another occasion, he said, I'll tell you this, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. He's never weary of worship, never weary of praise, never weary of prayer, never weary of fellowship. He says, I want to dwell in the presence of the Lord, in the worship of the Lord, in the fellowship of the Lord's people, in the services of the Lord, all the days of my life. I want to spend my whole life worshiping him. That's what he's saying. Look at the next line. To behold the beauty of the Lord. We don't go to the place of worship to see or to be seen. We go there, and we don't go there just to hear the ministry. We go there to behold the beauty of the Redeemer. To behold the beauty of the Lord. As I have seen him, he said, in the sanctuary. A revelation of his person. A revelation of his mercy. A revelation of his promises. A revelation of his goodness. Oh, that I may spend my whole life in the fellowship of the people of God, worshiping the Lord. All my life. Now listen. And to inquire in his temple. Inquire about what? Seek his face. To seek his will in all matters. To search his word for light and truth and revelation. To ask for grace and faith and love. I tell you what he's saying here. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I'm going to seek after. That I may dwell in the worship of the Lord, in the fellowship of the Lord's people, in the things of God. I tell you, some of you folks here, like myself, you've gotten old and white-headed. I come up sometime to that door out there and put the key in the door, and I think, how many times have I put the key in this door? How many times have I opened this door and walked? How many times have I walked through that door? But I'm so glad by his grace for every time he's let me walk in. How many times I've heard that song. And how glad I am for every time I've heard it. How many times I've heard Amazing Grace. How many thousands of times. But oh, how I thank God I still love him. That my heart's not hardened, gospel hardened. That I'm not cynical and critical and left the gospel and don't find any pleasure. I'm glad as an old man that I still love his word as much as I did when I was a young man. You see what I'm saying? David said, one thing, I desire the Lord, perseverance. That's right, John. Perseverance in the faith. Many people start and run for a while and get enthused. But the only one that's crowned is the one that finishes. Do you know that? That's the only victor. That's the only one that's crowned is the one that crosses the line. Walking with God. That's exactly what he said. Now then, he also, I'm sure, is talking about the house above. I'm sure of that. To behold the king in his beauty, I'll be satisfied when I wake with his likeness. To inquire in his temple, I see through a glass dimly. I know in part, but then I shall know. But I tell you, if I can walk with him here, I'll walk with him there. If I can continue in the faith by his grace here, then I'll be with him there. That's what he's saying. One thing, have I desired of the Lord. That's what I'm going to seek after. That I may dwell, not just a visitor, I mean dwell, an inhabitant, a son, dwell in his house all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. Where two or three are met together, he said, I'll be there in my name. I'll be there. And I tell you, if he's here, he's going to reveal himself, his beauty, and we're going to inquire. That's right. And then he says in verse 5, oh, I love this verse here, in time of trouble, and we have plenty of that, but he's going to hide me, and it's a threefold refuge. Number one, he'll hide me in his pavilion. You know what a pavilion is? A pavilion is a special tent that was erected right in the center of the army and surrounded by all the king's men. It was the royal pavilion, the king's pavilion. Let me show you a scripture dealing with that in Jeremiah 43. Jeremiah 43 talks about the royal pavilion. Jeremiah 43, verse 10. Look at this. Jeremiah 43, verse 10. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I've hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he'll smite the land of Egypt. The royal pavilion. This is the king's, King Nebuchadnezzar's pavilion. And what David is saying here, in time of trouble, my God will shelter me and hide me in his royal pavilion, his sovereignty. Sovereignty. He is sovereign over all events and all creatures and all their action, and he'll shelter me right in his royal pavilion, surrounded by his forces. Here's the second hiding place. He says he'll not only hide me in his pavilion, but in the secret of his tabernacle. Where have you run up on that word secret? You know, when they ask, when Manoah asked our Lord's name, he said, it's secret. You know, in Psalm 91, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place. You know where that is? The Holy of Holies. In time of trouble, my Lord, my sovereign Lord, will hide me in his royal pavilion. And he'll hide me in the Holy of Holies. With Christ, where the atonement is, where the mercy seat is. I'm entered in with Christ. Who's going to disturb me? Who's going to trouble me? Who's going to remove me in his sovereign pavilion, royal pavilion, in the holy place? And listen, on the rock. That's Christ Jesus. Can any trouble at any time of any magnitude be a threat to me when I have such a refuge, the king's pavilion, the secret holy place, and established on the immovable rock, Christ Jesus? Well, I tell you this, verse 6, because of that, mine head's lifted up above my enemies round about me. I have nothing to fear. In fact, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of praise and prayer and rejoicing. Yea, I will sing praises unto my God. Now verse 7. And it seems like that the pendulum swings here from praise to prayer. David's praising God. Now here he swings to prayer. David never presumed on the mercy of God. You're going to see this in the next few verses. David has a confidence in his Lord, but not a presumption. And he says here, listen, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. He doesn't have that arrogance and haughty spirit that demands an answer. You know, Spurgeon said this, sometimes the Lord hears and answers our prayers and our cries in a gracious way. But sometimes it seems that he turns a deaf ear. Sometimes it seems that the Lord shuts out our prayers. And he covers himself with a cloud and we can't pass through. And he says that David has experienced that. Because David said, Lord, are you clean gone? Will you never hear me? And here he says, hear me. Oh Lord, hear me when I cry. Have mercy on me. Answer me. Well, Spurgeon continued, sooner or later, he will hear. Because he always hears the cries of his people. And sooner or later, he'll answer. Hear me. Have mercy. And answer me. But verse 8, David says, when you said, seek ye my face. And that's what he said, didn't he? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's there. Seek the Lord. He told us to seek him. But when you said, seek my face, my heart responded. And my heart said, Lord, thy face will I see. No other. I'll seek you. Because you're my light. And you're my salvation. And you're my strength. I won't cease to pray. If the answer doesn't come now, I'll still seek thy face. If the response is not there when I feel like it should be, I'll still seek thy face. You said seek thy face, and I said, my heart said, I will. But Lord, hide not thy face from me. Don't put your servant away in anger. Thou'st been my help. Don't leave me. Don't forsake me. O God of my salvation. Psalm 51. He prayed like this before. You remember Psalm 51 verse 11. Lord, cast me not away from thy presence. Psalm 51:11, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Hide not thy face far from me. Actually, the word far there doesn't even have to be there because any hiding of his face would be far, wouldn't it? It'd be severe. Any hiding of his face. Don't leave me. Don't leave. One writer said two things he feared here. That God would put him away or God would withdraw from him. See that? Hide not your face. Don't put me away in anger. You have every right to, but don't do it. And don't leave me. And don't forsake me. Don't leave me alone. What a sweet title, O God of my salvation. And look at verse 10. When my mother and father forsake me, and this is a dear relationship. And it would be the very last to leave us. The very last, I would say, in most cases, a mother and a father will remain faithful to a child. But David said, even if this source of comfort is gone, and this source of strength is dried up, the Lord will take me up. He'll gather me up. He'll defend my cause. He'll comfort my heart. He'll elevate me above my troubles, and he'll receive me up into glory. Now, I want to get to this verse 11. David said, Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me thy way. Teach me thy way. This is more than laws and rules and statutes. This is his way. Some more people have prayed this. Turn to Exodus 33. Teach me thy way. I see people on television, I hear preachers answering people's questions, and they've got all these questions about all these different involved doctrines and different things, and that's not what David's talking about, not what Moses is talking about here. Moses, in Exodus 33, verse 12, and Moses said to the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, Moses. And thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, Lord, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Show me thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Show me your way. Now look at Psalm 103. Let me look at a few verses here. Psalm 103, show me thy way. Psalm 103, verse 7. It says in Psalm 103, verse 7, the Lord made known his ways unto Moses, but his acts to the children of Israel. The children of Israel never knew his ways. They never entered the promised land. They never believed. They died in unbelief. Moses knew his ways. They saw his acts. Let me show you another verse, Psalm 147. Verse 19. Psalm 147, verse 19. Look at this carefully. He showed his word to Jacob. Psalm 147, 19. He showed his word to Jacob. Who is his word? Christ is his word. His way. His statutes, his judgments to Israel. He showed his way to Moses. He showed his way, his word to Jacob. And all these other people just saw his acts and his statutes. And here David is saying, Lord, teach me your way. And I'm telling you what this is. This is the way of grace. This is the way of mercy and truth in Christ. This is the way of salvation for his people. This is the way that God can be just and justify. This is the gospel he's talking about. Show me your way of redemption in Christ. That's what he's praying. And lead me in a plain path, in a way of plainness. Lead me in the path of righteousness. That's what he's talking about. The simplicity of Christ. Show me your way. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Oh, that he would teach us his way. I don't want to just see the acts of God and the judgments of God and the statutes of God. I know there's a God. I know he created the world. I know he has all power. I know he reigns in heaven and earth. I know he can make the rain to fall and the snow to fall and the lightning to flash and the wind to blow, and he can do all these things. But I want to know him. I want to see his ways. Enter into the mysteries of God's ways and will and word. Teach me thy way. Dead letter, dry doctrine. No, that's not what I want to know. I want to know your way, O Lord. I want to be led in the paths of righteousness, in the simplicity of Christ Jesus, because of mine enemies. All right, verse 12. We'll deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. And I would have fainted. This is David. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I think about all the different times in his life when he came under great suffering and great trials. And here he's saying, I would have given up, but I believe to see the grace and mercy and goodness of God right here in the land of the living. And so he exhorts us to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait on him. And he will, in his time, strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I pray that that is a blessing to you. I want us to turn to number 292 in our hymn books. Number 292, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Number 292, we'll stand while we sing.